During Holy Week, we are on pilgrimage. As you probably know, a pilgrimage is a journey that is about God, that has as its focus God. It is a holy journey. It's a journey that's rooted in prayer, in holy listening to see what God is speaking. On pilgrimage, we begin from exactly where we are, wherever we find ourselves. And so in this week, we begin where we are this Holy Week, where we are in this moment. And we set out just as we find ourselves emotionally and physically and spiritually. And whatever might happen on this pilgrimage as we undertake the journey of this week, I believe that we will be changed, maybe even transformed. Transformed as we walk this way with Jesus, as we journey with him, as we do tonight to the upper room of the Last Supper, as we go to the Garden of Gethsemane, tomorrow as we journey with him to the cross, onto the tomb of burial, the tomb that becomes the site of resurrection. This journey we make is very much in the present. It's not simply about nostalgia, remembering back when so long ago. When we gather for the Eucharist, past and present and future are all united, all caught up in God's time. And so we don't just look back to those literal final days of Jesus' earthly life and ministry. We also look to the present as we make this journey. And we also look for the future and all those who will come after us as all of humanity united in Jesus makes this journey from death to life. And I think we gather this night knowing full well that our world could use some transformation. Things are not as we would like them to be. We have had more than 2 years of pandemic, and I suspect we all carry our own grief and loss about these years. This grief that so many have died, that so many are or have been ill, of how many have suffered both from the virus but also from all manner of social and economic dislocation. And of course, this night, war rages in Ukraine, and war rages around the world. So many injured and killed and displaced. And because of the war in Ukraine, world food supplies, especially in the Middle East and Africa, are being disrupted. And there's a fear of massive famine. And in this country, we continue with a great disparity between rich and poor. People of color continue to suffer from centuries of white supremacy. Our nation's political rhetoric is filled with hatred and vitriol and anger, and violence seems to be increasing around us. I know this sounds bleak, and I'm not trying to depress you, but I'm trying to make the point that it is in the midst of that reality, of all that is wrong with the world, of all that ails humanity, that we come to this night, to the beginning of the Triduum, these holy 3 days that are the heart of our liturgical year, which are at the center of our lives, which are days that are all about our very salvation and redemption. For these are the days that reveal the great love of God made known in Jesus, of love that is in very stark contrast to the ways of this world. On this night, Jesus gathers in that upper room with his disciples for a last meal. This is the night before his death. And during the meal, he does something shocking. He gets up, takes off his outer robe, and he washes their feet. An action that is reserved for slaves and servants, not for teachers and leaders. Jesus washing his disciples' feet turns the power structures and inequities of this world upside down. It also reveals the depth of Jesus' love for humanity, and it clearly shows us Jesus' priorities. Jesus asks his disciples, "Do you know what I have done to you?" And they don't understand. They can't in that moment. And in fact, they don't understand so much that Peter actually tries to prevent Jesus from doing this. And Jesus tells him, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done." It seems Peter is scandalized by Jesus humbling himself in this way. He seems uncomfortable with Jesus' act of servanthood. And certainly in the first century, the washing of feet was a sign of hospitality, but always done by someone of lower status. So Peter understands that something's not right in this. Jesus shouldn't be washing their feet. I think maybe we have our own uncomfortability with this act of washing feet. For in our time, it's something that doesn't happen. It's not even a mark of hospitality in our culture. This action is also intimate. It's not a common experience. And so maybe, like Peter, we want to resist this act of foot washing. And yet this night, we are invited to wash the feet of another and to allow our feet to be washed. And foot washing is such a clear sign of Jesus' love and his call to the life of servanthood. To wash the feet of someone is an act entirely done for their benefit, for their care, for their well-being. It's not about the other person. It's an act of humility that demonstrates the love that Jesus has for all people and that Jesus calls us to emulate. And so this night, we're invited to let down our boundaries a bit and to allow Jesus to care for us in the name of other people, to minister us through the actions of someone else. And we are invited to open ourselves to the loving act of having our feet washed, opening ourselves to the act of servanthood, which is the way of Jesus. And so just after the sermon, you will all be invited to participate tonight in this foot washing, removing your shoes and coming forward to this pew, to allow your feet to be washed by another, and then to wash the feet of someone else. And then at the very end, I ask whoever is last to wash my feet. We will, of course, be wearing masks and maintain social distancing. But nonetheless, I want to be clear, this is an invitation. And you are invited to this act, but it is up to you what you do. But I hope you will consider it, that you consider participating in the foot washing in this act of intimacy, even though it might feel strange to do so, that we can experience the act of service that Jesus commands us to do, doing just as he did for his followers. For this night, Jesus gives us a new commandment, in Latin, mandatum, where the night gets its name, a mandate to love one another as he loves us. And this love finds its meaning and expression in Jesus, who does not seek his own greatness or power or honor, whose love is so great that it allows Jesus to get on his hands and knees and wash the feet of his disciples, even washing the feet of those who will betray him, who will deny him, and who will at the last abandon him. This loving act done by Jesus shows his deep and great love for us. He also shows that love by going willingly to the cross for us, loving to the very end, forgiving those who kill him. And he shows his great love for humanity by giving us his abiding presence in the bread and wine of the Eucharist, which we also commemorate this night. The Eucharist, his very body and blood, the heavenly food for this earthly pilgrimage, the bread of heaven, the bread of angels, that unites us with Him as His body. And so tonight Jesus says to us, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. And by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. There's no question that our world desperately needs this love of God made known in Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so this night, let us come before Jesus, just as we are, just in the place we find ourselves, and accept His great love for us. And then allow ourselves to both serve, but also be served by others. And through Him, may we indeed be transformed into the people He would have us be, into His very body on earth, a people who love all without limits, who go forth in the name of Christ to serve everyone. May we come before Jesus this night, allowing ourselves to be opened and even transformed into His loving people, people who live not for ourselves, but for others, a people who die to self so that we might rise with Him to new and eternal life. In the midst of all the illness and suffering and death, the greed, the hatred, the violence of this world, may God's love shine through. May God's love shine in and through us, that people look at us, and just as they said of those first Christians, they will say of us that they can tell we are followers of Jesus, because they can see how deeply we love one another. Amen.